continue our study about Paul's puzzling practices, about some of the things that Paul did that that he seems in one place to say to do and another place to say not to do, or that what he instructs us to do seems to be contradictory with some of the truths and the principles of grace that we understand. And one of the things that we want to study in connection with all this is the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for the opportunity this evening of looking at your word and studying it together. And as we do so, we pray that the things that are said and done would honor and glorify the name of Christ and will be edifying to the saints. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, what we want to do, we're going to spend a little more time on this particular issue than we did on some of the others, because I think some of you maybe have never really heard me, even some of the old ambassador folks have never heard me teach through some of this information. So we're going to spend a little bit more time on it. I know Fran's never heard me teach through it, and she's a hard-headed about things, so we've got to spend extra time. But we do want to make sure that everybody's clear on our position on this and on why the position is and all that sort of thing. And what we want to do is just this week is talk a little bit about the covenants. And we've spent time all through this series of studies talking about how these practices that we puzzle about, that Paul did, all relate somehow back to one of Israel's covenants, either to the Old Covenant or to the New Covenant, either to the covenant that he made in the book of Exodus or the covenant that he talks about in the book of Jeremiah and the book of Ezekiel that he's going to make with them, that covenant that was instituted and implemented on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So in one way or another, whether it's water baptism or whether it's speaking in tongues or healing or whatever the various things that we've covered, in one way or another, they all relate back to one of those covenants. And in relating back to one of those covenants, there's something that's uniquely related to the nation Israel and God's plan and God's purpose for Israel. And even though we see them for a time operating in the body of Christ, as the full revelation of the mystery came and as Paul's information became complete about the dispensation of grace, those things ceased being practiced in the church, the body of Christ. And last week at tongues, and last week at healing, and those are two very good examples of how we see these things operating early in the body of Christ, but later on in the dispensation of grace, as the revelation of the mystery gets complete, those things are not operating. Healing that we looked at last week, for example, early in his ministry, Paul was healing people all over the place. You know, the aprons and the handkerchiefs went out from him and caused people to be healed. He healed the lame man in Acts chapter 14. And later on in his ministry, we read about how his companions, Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. He told Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy oft infirmities. So later on in his ministry, it seems as though he's not practicing that healing ministry because he's saying, well, this guy was sick and I had to leave him there because he was sick. And Timothy, you need to take some medicine for your stomach's sake and all that sort of thing. So a similar thing we're going to look at as we talk about the Lord's Supper, and we want to understand first, as I said, clearly about the covenants as they relate to it. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter number 8. And with this part of the study, really I've got, you know, about a whole lots of weeks worth of information that I want to kind of cram into 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm going to kind of shuffle around papers and stuff to pick out things that I want to talk about and things that we don't need to talk about. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." So there are two covenants in Scripture made with the nation Israel. And we talked a couple weeks ago, this is a moving chalkboard, about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And the very fact that the New Covenant is called New indicates that it's made with the same group of people that the old covenant was. One of the things that we need to get out of our thinking about the covenants is that the old covenant is Israel and the new covenant is the church, the body of Christ, because that's just not true. The old covenant was an old agreement that God made with Israel. The new covenant is a new agreement that he makes with Israel. In fact, if you look in verse 13 of chapter 8 of Hebrews, in that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. In other words, the new covenant, the old covenant didn't become the old covenant until there's a new covenant. So it's the new covenant that makes the old covenant old. And it only makes the old covenant old if it's made with the same group of people. We used these illustrations a couple weeks ago. If I make a covenant with Mike, and we have an agreement about something, and then I go over and make a covenant with Gordon, that doesn't make Mike's covenant old. It just means I've made another covenant with Gordon. But if I come to Mike and say, that agreement that we have, that covenant that we had, we have to do something different. We're going to make a new agreement. Then that makes the old one old because we've instituted a new one with the same group of people. And in fact, that's exactly what God did. He had made a covenant with the nation Israel in the book of Exodus when he took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, he says here. In verse 6 he says, he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So there's going to be a new covenant that's made, and that new covenant that's made is going to be a better covenant. It's going to be established on better promises, and we're going to see tonight the bottom line reason for that is because it's established by better blood. Sounded like my son. Probably did something. The old covenant was established on the blood of bulls and goats. The new covenant is going to be established on the blood of Christ. So it's a better covenant, better promises, because it's based upon better blood. And tonight we want to look at that blood and look at how, where there's a covenant, when there is a covenant of agreement between God and man, that covenant is always ratified by the shedding of blood and by a ceremony. When God implemented a covenant with Israel, he did a couple of things. He shed blood to ratify that covenant, and he instituted for Israel a ceremony to remember that covenant. Go back to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. And let's look at the ratifying of this covenant. Exodus chapter number 12. And, in fact, before you go back there to Exodus, now that you already did, you can keep Exodus if you got it. But go to the book of Hebrews. Let's get some information about Hebrews also, or about the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 19. Before we go back to the Old Testament to see that blood, because something that is always true of a covenant with the nation Israel, whether it's the old covenant or the new covenant, is going to be revealed to us here in Hebrews chapter 9. Look in verse number... Verse number 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So the writer of Hebrews points out that not only is the new covenant ratified by blood, the blood of Christ, but also the old covenant is ratified by blood. It's ratified by the blood of bulls and goats, and Moses had a ceremony and sprinkled and all that. Go back to the book of Jeremiah on your way back to Exodus. Go to Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah chapter number 34 and verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 34 and verse 18. Jeremiah 34, 18. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain, and passed between the parts thereof. The princes of Judah, and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land, which passed between the parts of the calf. Here he's talking about the ratification of that old covenant, and how some people have broken that covenant. They've transgressed my covenant. In other words, he's reminding them, you agreed with me. We made a covenant and we sealed that covenant in blood because we cut that thing in half. We cut that calf in half. Well, you cut a calf in half, you got a lot of blood. We cut him in half, you passed between him, and we ratified that old covenant in blood. So both the covenants, the old and the new covenant, are ratified in blood. Now, if you go back to Exodus 12 now, we'll see that happen. And Exodus 12, of course, is the what we commonly know as, and what God called afterwards, the Passover. And the Passover, when we think about the old covenant, we oftentimes think of Exodus 19. Because it's in Exodus 19 that God says to Israel, if you keep my covenant, you'll be a kingdom of priests and holy nation. But actually, you go back before Exodus 19 to see the implementation of that covenant. What God's doing in Exodus 19 is saying, here are the details of the covenant. Here's the fine print of the covenant. Here's the law that you have to keep. But before that, in Exodus chapter 12, he started initiating that covenant with Israel by taking them out of the land of Egypt. Remember, we read in Hebrews chapter 8, in the day, not like the covenant that I made with you in the day that I took you by the hand to lead you out of the land of Egypt. That's when the covenant really began. When he took them by the hand, led them out of the land of Egypt, and he began an agreement with that nation. Exodus 19 is the detail of the agreement. Now we're going to put the agreement down in writing. Moses, come up here. We've got an agreement in principle. Now we've got to put it down in writing. And that's what Moses does. Go up in the mountain and gets it down in writing. But in Exodus 12, the covenant is actually beginning in verse number 1. Exodus 12 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So he talks here about the first Passover. They're in the land of Egypt. They're going to be delivered from the land of Egypt. The death angel's going to come. We know it's the last plague that comes on Egypt. The death angel's going to come. The firstborn in all the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh to the firstborn of cattle and the firstborn of the animals in the field, all the firstborn are going to die. Israel, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And this is why the covenant begins here. Because an agreement begins here. The agreement that initiates this old covenant, before you get all the detail of Exodus 19 and 20, the basic agreement is, you take that blood, you put it on the doorpost and on the lintel, and the death angel will pass over you. That's the first agreement that God makes with Israel when he takes them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. The basic agreement is, I am your deliverer. I'm the Lord that delivers you. I'm the Lord that can redeem you. I'm the Lord that will get you out of the land of Egypt. And in order to do that, here's something you have to do. You have to take the blood and you have to put it on the lintel and on the doorpost so the death angel passes over. And the death angel will pass over. That's why it's called Passover. I'll bring you out of Egypt by a strong and mighty hand. Down in verse number 12, we read that, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So he's going to bring them out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. He's going to deliver them The old covenant is going to be instituted by this Passover event, an agreement with Israel. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's the first agreement. And if you're not under that blood, of course the type is the blood of Christ here, but if you're not under that blood, then you're not a part of my covenant. If you're not under that blood on the lintels and on the doorpost, you're not part of my covenant. I'm making a covenant, an agreement with you. I come into an agreement with you that I'll not smite anyone that's under that blood. I'll pass over you. And the old covenant begins. So when a covenant is ratified, we're going to shed blood. And that's exactly what Israel did. We're going to shed blood, and the blood is going to be a token. If you look in verse 12, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, smite the firstborn, both man and beast. Against the gods of Egypt will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. The blood is going to be a token, a sign, a seal of that covenant. Now, in addition to that, in addition to the blood, God says there's going to be a ceremony. Look in verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day shall ye put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, and only that only may be done of you. So there's going to be a memorial. There's going to be a memorial of this event. We have a covenant, which is going to be Passover. And when you have a covenant, and this is going to go for whether it's the old or new covenant, when you have a covenant, the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to ratify that covenant, seal that covenant in blood. Then, after we seal that covenant in blood, we are going to have a memorial. A memorial of remembrance. To remember. Nobody can read that writing anyhow. We have a memorial of remembrance so that we remember what happened this night. Look down in verse number 24 of Exodus 12. Verse 24 of Exodus 12. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and thy sons forever. It shall come to pass when ye be come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. So there is a shedding of blood to commemorate and ratify a covenant, and there is a memorial of remembrance. It's not just that night that we're going to shed blood, but there's going to be a memorial every year. This is the beginning of years to you. This is the beginning of your months. This has happened all in the spring, in March or April, on our calendar, the Jewish calendar, it's the beginning of the year. Our calendar, it's March or April. But for them, it's the beginning. This is when God calls them out. They're going to become a nation now. They're going to be unified together as a nation. That covenant that's made with them is going to be ratified by blood. And you're always going to remember this day. If you look over Leviticus chapter 23, that day gets codified, if you will, gets added in to the law and becomes a part of Israel's feasts and fasts in the law. Leviticus chapter number 23. I can find it here. It'll be all right. Leviticus 23. And we can just start at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim, these are holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but in the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, and holy convocation, ye shall do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. The first one, verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto the Lord 7 days must ye eat unleavened bread. So the first feast that he talks about is that feast of Passover. We'll just look at him. If you go down to verse 9, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying to them, When ye come into the land which I give you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, ye shall bring forth a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. There's the feast of first fruits. Down to verse number 15. Ye shall count after you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall ye complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. That's 50 days, that's the Feast of Pentecost. Penta is 5, 50, Pentecost. All the feasts, we'll not go through them all tonight, I guess, but all 7 of Israel's feasts are laid out for you there. And they point to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the return of Jesus Christ, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus Christ comes in tabernacles with man. All of those feasts are laying out for Israel what God is going to do in their redemptive calendar. The feasts of Israel are the type and the picture and the foreview of their redemptive calendar, and what starts it all is this one. The blood that was shed to ratify the old covenant, to make that Passover, and there is a memorial of remembrance, and Israel practiced Passover the whole way through the Old Testament, all the way up into the New Testament. Today, Jews still practice Passover. Jews that don't do anything else still practice Passover. That's the big deal. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 26. And in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus Christ is continuing that practice, the practice of Passover, in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse number 17. Matthew 26 and verse 17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go unto the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did it. Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. So Jesus Christ, as his death approaches, is preparing to eat this Passover. Now, in next week or the following week, we're going to get into some of the detail about the timing of when all this stuff happens. It gets pretty involved. That's a good word. Complicated, hairy, about when all this stuff happened and how it happened. For instance, in this passage, it seems really to indicate that Jesus Christ was going to eat the Passover with them. But if you read the passage in John, when Judas went out, it looks like the Passover hasn't been eaten yet, because Judas went out and they thought he went out to buy what they had need of for the Passover feast. So it looks like they didn't do it yet. So it's kind of involved, and we'll talk about that more as we go on. But tonight we just want to kind of keep this principle in mind. You've got a covenant, you got the shedding of blood, and you've got a memorial of remembrance in order to remember that. Now, Jesus Christ, that night, when he was going to keep the Passover with his apostles, instituted a new covenant, or at least talked about the new covenant. If you look in chapter 26, down into verse number 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. So now we're going to have a new covenant. Now remember, the purpose of the new covenant is the same as the purpose of the old covenant, to make Israel a kingdom of priests. But the new covenant is going to be based upon better promises. It's a better covenant because it's got better promises, because it's got better blood. And the better blood is going to be, as we read here in Matthew chapter 26, the blood of Christ. But notice what he says in verse 26, or verse 28 rather. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This blood is blood that's going to ratify a New Testament. The blood of Christ is going to ratify this new covenant, this new testament, this new agreement. That's why the book of Hebrews says where you're going to have this, you've got to have the death of the testator. The testator has to die. There has to be blood. Even in the Old Testament, the testator died, only it was the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament. In the New Covenant, the testator is going to be Jesus Christ. Keep your hand here in Matthew and look back at the passage in Hebrews that we looked at. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. Hebrews 9 and verse 11. Neither by the blood of bulls and goats and calves, blood of goats and calves. I just added the word bulls there, added to the scripture. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. And that's what we read earlier on. So there's got to be the death of the testator. We're going to establish a new covenant. That new covenant is going to be established with the same people as the old covenant. Look back to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 8. For finding fault with them, that is, with Israel, in fulfilling the old covenant, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and with the house of Israel. The covenant is going to be with the same group of people. It's the same group of people. It's a new covenant. Remember, we illustrated that before with making a covenant with Mike, and now we're going to make another covenant, a new covenant with Mike. But when we make a covenant, what do we have to do? Well, we have to have blood. There has to be the shedding of blood. What else does there have to be? There has to be a memorial of remembrance to remember that covenant by. And the night that Jesus Christ is betrayed and the night that he institutes this with the apostles, he's going to do those two things. He's going to tell them, this cup is the blood of the New Testament. It's my blood shed for many for the remission of sins. Incidentally, that word many, it's my blood shed for many for the remission of sins. That blood of the New Testament is shed for the sins of the nation Israel. It's not shed for the sins of the Gentiles. It's not until we get to Paul that he says, you know what, that blood, it has application out to you Gentiles too. Jesus Christ is shedding his blood for many. Now a Calvinist takes that verse and they say, see there, Christ died for the elect. He didn't die for all men. He only died for those that are elect. The problem with, and in that context, that's true. He's dying for the elect. That is, he's dying for his elect nation, the nation Israel. Just like back here in the Old Covenant, the blood's got to be on the lintels and on the doorposts. And it only applies to those that are there. It didn't apply to Egypt. It didn't apply to those outside of the covenant. I'm making the covenant with my chosen nation, Israel. And the blood is applied to them, and the blood is going to get them out. This blood that's shed here to make a new covenant, I'm making the new covenant. Hebrews 8 says it. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not with you Gentiles out there. A new covenant with Israel and Judah. And that blood is going to apply to them. It's going to apply to many, but not to all. That verse, you can only understand, it's the blood that's shed for many. You can only understand that in a context of rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding that this death and this testament, this covenant, is made with the nation Israel. And that's why he says many instead of all. Instead of an every man ministry that Paul proclaimed, he says many. probably go back there to the book of Matthew. And let's look. Matthew chapter 26. We read part of the passage here, and let's read the rest of it. Let's start up at verse number 20. Now, when the even was come, and what I'll, next week or the following week when we get to it, what I'll have for you is, just to make this easier, tonight we'll just go through each one, but I've got down on a sheet of paper the account in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and 1 Corinthians, because there are five places in the New Testament where this event is recounted. It's one of the few events that has five different places that it's recounted. And it's just kind of easier to study it if you just can look at them all side by side. So we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. Matthew 26, let's start at verse 20. When the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it was written by him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup. Gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So Jesus Christ clearly says, we're going to have a new covenant, a new testament. We're going to have blood to ratify that new covenant. That blood is going to apply to many, to the nation Israel, not to all, not to the Gentiles out there. And this thing that we're doing is going to be a memorial of remembrance for how long? Well, verse 29, he says, I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This is something, I'm giving you this remembrance to do until I come drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I'll not do it here now, again, because I'm going to go out and die. But here's something, here's a memorial of remembrance until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Go to the book of Mark. Let's look at Mark's account. In fact, let's not. Let's go to Luke. Let's just save some time. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 14. And Luke uses a word here that I've been using. But we haven't seen it in the scripture yet, but we'll see it now. Luke 22 verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So again, we're going to do this thing. It's something you can keep doing out there in the kingdom of God. I'll do it again. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. There's that word, a memorial of remembrance. The same thing that he instituted in the Old Testament to remember the Old Covenant, he institutes in the New Testament to remember the New Covenant. This is a memorial of remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. So that's the account in Luke. And Luke uses that important term, remembrance. The blood shed for many has a memorial of remembrance that goes with it. Go to the book of John. John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 1. And this is the one, see all those ones we read so far, this is where it gets involved and rather confusing. All those other ones, it looks like they were eating Passover. John's account, chapter 13 verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So supper's over, and it's still before the feast of Passover. So he said, well, over there he says, I want to eat Passover. And over here he says, Passover's not here yet, and And in addition to all that, if Jesus Christ is going to be the type of, not the type, if He's going to be the fulfillment of the type of Passover, those Passover lambs that are killed, if He's going to fulfill that type, then when did He have to die?
On the Passover.
Before is not right, after is not right, but on. He had to die on the Passover. In other words, if there's a Passover and we're going to go kill these lambs and that lamb is a type of the death of Christ, then when you fulfill that type, it's got to happen that same day. To fulfill that type, Passover has to be the next day, which is the day He's crucified. So what He ate that night with His apostles, I don't believe, and we'll look at this as we go through it, I don't believe was the actual Passover meal, but something new that He instituted in similar to Passover, but commemorating now not the old covenant, but the new covenant. John chapter 13, let's look down at verse number 21. When Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom He spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it was of whom He spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I have given a sop when I have dipped it. And when He had dipped the sop, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, What thou doest, do quickly. So he's going to go out, whatever it is that He's going to do, go do it quickly. And we're going to study in the next couple of weeks what it is that He did and the significance of that. The point tonight is just this, that there is, with the new covenant, the same thing that there was with the old covenant, which is twofold. There's the shedding of blood to ratify it, and there is a memorial of remembrance to make clear, Israel, you do this thing to remember this event, remember this night, until I come, until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He says that to them twice. There's an interesting verse over in the book of Revelation chapter 3, which we'll look at in more detail. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20. Remember He said, you do this thing in remembrance of me. I'll not do it with you till I come in, or till I come again in my Father's kingdom. Revelation chapter 3, which is a passage talking about the return of Christ and the coming of the kingdom. The whole book of Revelation is that's what it's about. Verse number 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Well, what's the last thing He did with His apostles? He supped with them. And Revelation 3, and the last thing He said, one of the last things He said to them on the before His crucifixion was, I'll come sup with you again in the Father's kingdom. This is for you to remember me until I come do it with you again in my Father's kingdom. Revelation, which is talking about the coming of that kingdom, says, you know, if you receive Him, open the door to Him, He'll come in and He'll sup with you. Where's that going to happen? Well, He told them that's going to happen in the kingdom of God comes, when there's a kingdom here on the earth. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul, as he recounts this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's always been interesting to me that Paul makes no separate unique application of it. In fact, Paul gets information and makes statements that are almost identical to what are made in the Gospels. Now, he doesn't quote any Gospel writer. He doesn't quote Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but he sort of gives you a conglomeration? No, that's not a good word. But he gives a combining of those four accounts into one account. And when we look at the five side by side, we'll see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So he gets two important points in it. Well, look at verse 26 also. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. There are three important points in there that match exactly with the implementation of that ceremony for Israel's covenant. Number one, it is the blood of the New Testament. That's what Paul says in verse number 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Number two, it is a memorial of remembrance. Verse 26, or 25, he says, This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the third point is, I'll come do it new with you again in the kingdom. Verse number 26, As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. I'll come drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So, all those elements that make this thing a Jewish covenant practice are there when Paul describes it also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He gives no new meaning to all of those things. He gives no new purpose to all of those things. In fact, he continues that same purpose. And an interesting thing that he says here, which we'll get into more detail, look up in verse number 20. Let me ask you this. When the ceremony for the old covenant was eaten at Passover meal, how was it eaten? In what manner? I'm not being clear enough.
Yeah, killed it, put herbs on it.
It was a ceremony. They all knew what they were there for.
They gathered together one place.
They gathered together in one place. That's close, except in the Old Testament ceremony, they didn't gather together in one place. Every household. Remember back we read in, keep your hand here and go back to Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3, Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month ye shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house, according to the number of souls, every man according to the eating, shall take your count for the lamb. So it's that Old Testament covenant ceremony. That old covenant ceremony is one that's practiced by households. Jesus Christ, when he did the New Testament ceremony, did it the same way. He did it by households. His family were those 12 apostles. And he called those 12 apostles aside into a room. And he said, This is the covenant in my blood. And he instituted a new thing that they were to do. Interestingly enough, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says something in verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Well, why would you say something like that? Well, the ceremony that ratified the old covenant and the ceremony that ratified the new covenant were not something that Israel did as a nation. It was something that they did as family. Now, the whole nation did it, but they all had a lamb. They all shed that blood of the Lamb. When they kept the New Testament memorial of remembrance, Christ called His family together, His earthly family, and they did it together. So that's just a quirky little thing, and we'll talk about more as we go along with the study. But both of these are practiced by family groups. And Paul points out, says here in 1 Corinthians, when you come together, that's not the Lord's Supper. That's not how that was done anyhow, I think he's saying. It's the blood shed for many, a memorial of remembrance to remember until the kingdom, and it's done both in the Old and the New Covenant as family groups, or two families together. Depends on the lamb. In that Old Covenant, it was, how much lamb can you eat? If you got a couple people and you can't eat a whole lamb, then you get two families together, put the blood, and he'll pass over you. Anyhow, for tonight, just understand, always when you have a covenant, you have blood to ratify it, whether it's the blood of bulls and goats or the blood of Christ. You have a memorial for A memorial of remembrance. Too many M's in that statement. A memorial of remembrance. Whether it is the Passover or the Lord's Supper, there's a memorial of remembrance. And in regards to the Lord's Supper, it's something that's to be done until He drinks it new with you in His Father's kingdom, when He comes and sups, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. So, what we've been talking, and the reason we started out with this is each of these things we've been talking about, we've been relating it back to Israel's covenants. Does it relate to Israel's covenant? Is it a part of Israel's covenant? Is it something that Israel practiced in their covenant? And in this case, yes, it is. Obviously, we've got a lot more details to fill in, but this kind of gives us the broad picture of the thing. Keith, I can tell you're getting ready to ask a question. You're all scratching your head.
Maybe you'll cover this later on, but in everyone you've gone through, it's been, we have the spiritual circumcision, we have the baptism, we have the completed word instead of the signs. And
right.
So on. What do we have in this?
What's the spiritual reality? What is this teaching in type that we already possess the spiritual reality of? Yes. We will talk about that. We will talk about that, yes. We will talk about that when we talk about this term, which everybody uses to describe this event. I don't know if it's spelled right or not. Communion. Is that spelled right?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk about communion and what is the difference between the Lord's Supper and communion. And when we talk about that, we'll talk about a spiritual reality versus a type. So we will cover that either next week or the following. Probably take 3 weeks at least to cover all this in detail. And we have another question?
How's it mentioned?
It's 10 after.
When you said five times, five is the number for death.
Five is the number of death. Wow.
And grace.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was grace too.
Yeah, grace.
Yeah. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. And Sunday, we'll be up there. All right. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and the opportunity this evening of looking at your word and studying it together. And we do think of those that we spoke of earlier in the evening, those that are suffering from some physical problem or malady or situation. And we know that in each of those situations that your grace is sufficient and that our role and our responsibility as ambassadors for Christ is to be the ministers of reconciliation and to comfort those that need comforting, to weep with those that weep, and to rejoice with those that rejoice. And we pray that each of us would carry out that role as your ambassador and minister to those that are hurting physically, emotionally, whatever the case might be. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here this evening. It was good to have you. And